Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, where we'll talk about news, education, and opportunities for small businesses on the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street and in Washington, D.C. I'm Michelle Yancey.
And I'm Kyle Todd. Welcome to Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to today's episode of Rhode Island Avenue Radio. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm doing well.
You are looking bright and shiny this morning, like you got up and worked out or something.
Oh, how could you tell?
you just have that.
I have that glow.
I have conquered the world today.
Yes.
Good for you. And hello to Rodney back on the board back there, making us sound good. Thank you, Rodney. We have a fantastic guest to get to this morning. It's a, we'll call him a repeat offender.
He's a triple crown. This is going to be his triple crown.
Yeah. And one of my favorite guests, and we'll get to him in just a second. I'm going to leave you guys hanging on that for a minute. First, as always, we want to thank our sponsors, the Department of Small and Local Business Development and the Department of Housing and Community Development. It is their grant dollars to us that allow us to put on this show, as well as allowing us to provide grants and support to small businesses up and down the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street corridor and to put on events like upcoming Fall Fest.
Just a few short weeks away.
Man, TikTok. Saturday, October 6th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is our six years of Fall Fest.
Wow.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it? This year, we've got some great entertainment lined up. Of course, the stage will be in the Rita's parking lot, in addition to some fantastic live music from local talent. We've also got some very inspiring dance performances by our own District Dance Arts.
Ah.
Love seeing those little kids doing ballet. It's fantastic. And Capoeira is going to be doing a great demonstration, couple of other activities going on the stage in addition to some fantastic live music. And, you know, I got to give a big shout out to our sponsors, of course, Department of Small and Local Business Development, the Minkiti Group, who has been with us from day one of Fall Fest. Thank you, Minkiti Group. We love you guys, and thanks for continuing to be our partner on this. Rhode Island Row is joining us once again. Washington Gas and their Project Pipes. And, of course, our own businesses of Zeke's Coffee, Rita's Frozen Ice, PNC Bank, the Public Option, and we've got a couple of more details being locked in for some other great sponsors. We'll talk about that next time. And be sure to check out our website, riamainstreet.org. And we've got a Facebook event set up on our Facebook page, RIA Main Street. So again, October 6th, Saturday, October 6th, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., our fall festival. On our website, we've also got a volunteer form. So if you want to come join us, be a volunteer for the day, be a part of the event, part of the activities, please do. It's a great way to see kind of behind the scenes, meet lots of great people, and hang out doing good stuff for your own neighborhood here for the day. Okay, enough about Fall Fest. I also need to give a shout out. We usually have our friend and neighbor, Kish Rusek, joining us to talk about this event that's coming up. It's the D.C. State Fair. That will be Sunday, December, listen to me.
Not yet, Kyle,
I'm already thinking about a holiday market. Yeah. Sunday, September 23rd, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Waterfront Station in Southwest D.C. And their website is dcstatefair.org. This is always a good time. And while we may not have representation in Congress, we are still acting like we're... Because we are. Come on, we're a state.
We're certainly paying taxes like we're a state.
Just give in and let it happen already, Congress, all right? It's inevitable. And we're proud, and we're showing off the stuff that we make here in D.C.
And we make a lot of good stuff.
There's some great homebrew. There's jams, there's jellies, there's garden stuff, there's pies.
There's T-shirts, there's made in D.C. paraphernalia.
So be sure and check out September 23rd at the Waterfront Metro in Southwest DC, the DC State Fair. Again, their website is dcstatefair.org. All right. And let's see. We thank the sponsors. Again, DSLBD and DHCD. Thank you very much. And let's get
crown
on
this,
with it.
Let's crown this man with his triple crown.
Welcome back to the show, Daryl Maxwell of DC Bar. Welcome, Daryl.
Thank you very much.
It's always, you're one of my most favoritest guests.
And we love all of our guests.
We do. But you're my favorite. Don't tell
me. I mean, you've been here 3 times now, so yeah. Thank you.
I am appreciative that you guys allow me to come back.
Yes, you haven't offended us so far, so that's good.
Nah, this is like...
it's like family.
Mr. Infectious Laugh.
Exactly.
Here.
Exactly.
Okay. So what's going on with DC Bar these days?
Sure. So before I get to the DC Bar and the DC Bar for Bono Center, for those of you who are listening and heard Kyle talk masterfully and lovingly about Fall Fest, having been a volunteer at Fall Fest, I believe either all of the years that it's been around or at least 5 of the 6 years, I cannot tell you how important it is and how fantastic it is and how much energy it brings to the avenue and to the residents. If you were thinking about, maybe I'm going to go, forget that. You should be there.
Nice.
It's important. Additionally, we talk about businesses along the avenue and in the corridor and in the District of Columbia. It's important for folks to see both the businesses that exist along the avenue open their doors and welcome people from who are here from the avenue, here from all over the city, as people that I met when I volunteered last year were in from my neighborhood up in Ward 4 who just wanted to take a look. Some people who had literally just stumbled upon it because they were walking their kid or going to Zeke's to get coffee. Oh, look at this. And they saw tons of great things, tons of newer entrepreneurs who were looking to get their footing, having a booth. I just think it's really important both for the vibrancy of the avenue and also to sort of just be around your neighbors.
Yeah, be
and
a part
out.
Of your community.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you for saying that. Of course. It's important.
Yes, check is in the mail. Thank you. No, thank you. That I really appreciate that. It's you've been a part of our organization off and on for years, and your continued support and your you matter, man. So thank you.
And you
much.
Work hard on this, Kyle. So. Not. I mean, I know you don't always get the credit, but you work very hard on this, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you. We've got a full team that works on this. You know, Fall Fest, as Daryl knows, is all hands on deck for the board of directors, which is an all volunteer, community led board of directors. We've got a couple of folks working for us now in a part time capacity. One of which that actually lives in the neighborhood, and so it matters to her to make sure that this is going on. So we're really lucky to have a great team and a great support system through all of our sponsors and volunteers. So it's we're gonna speak into existence a day of good weather.
Absolutely.
for the event, mm-hmm. And we're let these hurricanes get their stuff out of their system now and. And then we'll have a great day on Fall Fest on October 6th. So thank you.
Sure.
But we're here to talk about you.
Yeah. Tell us about the DC Bar and what's going on.
Sure. So for those of you who may have not heard my last trips on or my last sort of visits to Rhode Island Avenue Radio, the DC Bar is the membership organization for all lawyers who want to practice in DC. The Pro Bono Center is a separate 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our mission is to support the indigent community here in the District of Columbia. In addition, we support through both legal education and representation, we support both nonprofit organizations and small businesses. In the last 3 months, I've gone from being a managing attorney at the DC Bar Pro Bono Center to now the assistant director. There are two of us, assistant director.
Wow. Congratulations on that promotion.
Thank you very much. It's I'm still getting used to it.
Okay.
I have been with the Pro Bono Center for in October. Actually, I think the day of Fall Fest will be my 10th anniversary, which I can't believe. I still can't believe.
Wow. What a nice 10th anniversary present, a promotion.
I know. So that will be, yes, I will, that will be 10 years. And so now I manage, before I managed mostly our, worked a lot on our nonprofit work and then pretty much managed and led all of our small business work. Now I'm leading both, so which is a little trying. At least, you know, we've been working a little, pretty much down a director, at least, although I am the director, our director left, and so I've been sort of doing two jobs. Mm-hmm. That said, it's been really exciting to take on this sort of new mantle. So for the again, for those of you who haven't heard, and I'll talk a little bit about our upcoming sort of projects that would be hopefully of interest to some of you. And I do have a couple of nuggets maybe that I think folks, particularly at this time of year, and just from things I'm seeing working, continuing to work with small business clients and some nonprofit clients too, things that folks should be looking at. As we get into September and October, and even sort of as we move sort of towards the end of the year. So our small business work is pretty varied, but one of the ways and one of the ways in which we reach the community on a regular basis is I currently manage a monthly small business clinic where folks can come in, they can talk, you know, they can get their questions answered about any sort of legal issue or question or concern that they have related to a business, whether it's a business that they have already started, they've been working on for a long time, or something that is totally brand new, their startup organization. You know, we've worked with food trucks, we've worked with folks who sell jewelry, we've worked with we've worked with lingerie websites, we've worked with construction companies, and
so it's open to any kind of business.
Any kind of business. During our clinics, while we request a little bit of information from clients, we don't turn anybody away because they make a lot of money. Folks aren't necessarily required to give us all of their financial information, but we do ask for household income. It's fairly uncommon that we'll have somebody who says they make $400,000 or $500,000, but we have had that, which usually leads me to go, wait, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. However, there is a case to be made, not necessarily for us to represent those folks, but it's helpful sometimes to get a very quick answer to a question that you can't be certain that you're getting answered online, and that will help you sort of move forward without having to go through the process. I mean, trying to consult and then engage a lawyer can both be expensive and time-consuming. We try to take, at least for in our sort of our directive is to work with small businesses and fledgling and startup businesses, but we try to take some of the concern out of that by making it available. Additionally, we operate all throughout the city, and something I would like to do is find a good space in the ward so that we can be back. We've been in Ward 5, and we haven't been on Rhode Island Avenue ever for a small business clinic.
Uh-oh, we're going to fix that.
Yeah.
Oh, ding, ding.
Consider that fixed.
And now that I'm the boss, I feel like we can make this happen. But it's something that is important to me to try. We do somewhere between 11 and 12 clinics per year, and it's important for me for our team and for our organization to be in every ward as much as we can. If it's every year, that makes a lot of sense to me. We don't host, I mean, it wouldn't make sense for us to host clinics at our office. We want to go to the places where people typically would go to do their business or where their businesses operate. So we partner with a number of fantastic organizations like actually both of your main sponsors. You mentioned DSLBD and you mentioned DHCD. We have worked with them. They have hosted us, and actually they will be hosting us. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But they will be hosting us at our upcoming clinic next Wednesday, September 19th. at their office at 441 4th Street.
Nice.
But we've worked in the past with DC's Department of Consumer and Regulatory Affairs, which if you're a business owner in the district, you've probably been to at least 5,000 times.
And that's 4,999 too many.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Although, as my friends at DCRA would say, their website is much improved. Yeah. And a lot of these processes you can do online. Although, I was not paid to say any of this. They actually do a fantastic job at both at the main site, but also in their Small Business Resource Center, of having experts that can talk to entrepreneurs. That, among other reasons, are a reason why we try to partner, so that if we've got clients and we've got business owners who are coming in and are talking to us and they have very specific needs, we can direct them to the Resource Center or direct them to any of our community partners, such as the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street, or jokingly, the other like 35 to 40 Main Streets in the District of Columbia. I know there aren't that many, but we're almost getting close to 20,
yeah,
which is amazing.
Yeah.
And it speaks both to a need to help sort of focus small business owners and the community in developing where we want to go with sort of development along our Main Street corridors.
Yeah.
And look, I don't have to tell Kyle, or I don't have to tell either of you guys about how important the Main Street philosophy is, or how it's working to develop and sort of push community-based development in our neighborhoods. But again, we work with businesses. We also work with nonprofit organizations. We've provided free legal assistance and counseled Main Streets in the past.
Yep.
Both the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street, but also a couple other main streets. And we work with nonprofits throughout the city, both on a one-to-one sort of individual consultation basis, but also through training and education. So the DC Bar Pro Bono Center is here to help businesses. It's here to help nonprofits. In the next, because I've been with the organization for so long, I've had a fairly long-range view of where I want sort of our programming to go. I'm really proud of the programming we've been able to develop, and I'm happy to talk about any of that as you guys have questions. But we want to be informative and also responsive to community needs. And whether that means, we've certainly developed and tailored some programming for specific needs that have been occurring throughout, where all of a sudden you start to notice like a trend of entrepreneurs needing this or entrepreneurs having particular issues.
Yeah, and that's a question I was gearing up to ask. I know that we've talked about this in your previous visits about what trends you're seeing. Let's hit that up again, Daryl. What types of legal issues do you see trending these days?
Okay, so I really want to jump on this. So
excellent.
One of the things that I've been noticing, and it's while it's not like a particularly sexy trend, it's been happening a lot more, I've noticed probably in the last year. Everybody thinks that entering into business is great and fantastic in the beginning. But a lot of people have been doing it with partners. Mm-hmm. And I probably said this before, possibly said it on the podcast, but I will say it again. You should choose very carefully who you decide to partner with in business, much like
and
you
in
would,
life,
for sure.
Sorry,
no, it's true.
I have most certainly had to, in some cases, play psychiatrist, marriage counselor, to business owners, and I've just noticed like an uptick in. A business has maybe there's one owner, but also a one manager or somebody who is responsible for it, for the details. And they just, you got two partners, maybe three, and folks just can't come up with a proper direction. Sometimes it's early stage and you just can't figure out where to go. Sometimes it's as the business has been operating for a little while and you can't decide, now we're getting some money. Who is going to lead? Who's going to fall back possibly? And, where do we go how much money do I get? Have you sort of, have you evidenced in writing the fact that I'm supposed to get this percentage of money every month or every quarter in distributions or in income or in salary or however you're going to work it? And we've just been, we've gotten an influx of folks who've been thinking about those things and trying to figure out what to do. And so trying to counsel people beforehand to say, look, if you haven't figured out some sort of document, it doesn't need to be super formal. It should be, mm-hmm. if you can. Mm-hmm. But figuring out some way to make sure that both parties or how many ever parties are responsible at the time that you decide you're going to enter into business together, you can figure out, all right, this is what we should be doing, or this is what we're going to do. And it's in writing.
Yeah. And as we've talked about before, do all this while everybody still likes each other.
Good Man, point. You know, it's hard to do after.
Right. Some stuff has happened. Really, just do it early, do it often, do it thoroughly,
exactly.
And do it while you all still like each other.
Yeah. And I also do get the point that when you're excited, everybody's happy, everybody's raring to go, and and maybe I said this before, but it certainly is. It might sort of speak to a prenuptial agreement and a marriage.
Exactly. Like,
nobody wants to sign those. Nobody wants to think about those things beforehand. But in this particular context, much like a marriage, like money is involved.
Yeah.
And it makes even more sense because hopefully feelings aren't involved in the beginning. Hopefully. You can have something evidenced in writing so that you don't have to argue about it after the fact.
Right.
So I've just been... I've had to counsel a couple clients on this, like very recently. So that's certainly been an issue. For those clients who have commercial spaces, and I know I've talked about this before on the podcast, but making sure that you understand the terms by which you've entered into a lease, mm-hmm. are, I cannot, you know, beat the drum loud enough for how important it is. And if you think there's something in your lease you don't understand, you need to, you know, thankfully we do these clinics every month. You need to make sure that somebody can help you, can explain it to you.
And something that I think applies to both nonprofits and businesses, is the idea of understanding the requirements around grants you may receive. I with the rise of Main Streets, and we give grants to businesses to do, you know, X, Y, and Z to improve their business. With Great Streets, out of Deputy Mayor for Planning and Economic Development's office, as the Great Streets program is growing and expanding, when we provide grants to businesses, they enter into a signed agreement with us, meeting certain parameters, and there are obligations that the business has to live up to, in addition to obviously just doing the things that they said they were going to do. And we've run across time and time again instances where businesses didn't read their grant agreement. They just took the money and ran and did what they wanted to do with it. And sure, things change. You know, you may have had all the best intentions of using that grant money to, say, put on a fresh coat of paint.
Right.
But then the sewer line backed up and you needed to do something with that. So you used the money for that. But that wasn't in the grant agreement. Now, you can come talk to us and maybe we can revise that grant agreement. But we're being held to a standard by the money that we get from right. our grantors, like DSLBD and DHCD, that we're going to be, you know, monitoring how we provide money out to our small businesses. So from the standpoint of having all of that stuff, all that stuff known, and it's legal stuff, right there with leases and partnership agreements, it's, you know, it's understanding when you're getting assistance from organizations or the DC government to grow your business, you have legal obligations there as well.
Okay. I I mean, I probably said I can't beat the drum loud enough for X or Y, but I've had, I've had exactly this issue, you know, working with the Main Streets and working with the Rhode Island Avenue Main Street in particular. I learned a lot about the Great Street program, and it had, and had worked with some clients in the past who had received funding for facade improvement in particular. And the amount of people who didn't understand what was in their agreement, or, you know, if the, for example, if you're a restaurant and you're getting funding to provide or to redo like a range or a stove, and you need to use, typically you need to use an approved vendor, mm-hmm. That whichever agency is giving you the funding is going to be, it's DEMPED, as you mentioned before. If you decide to do some of that work yourself, you may not get funding for it, or they're not likely going to reimburse you for it. I've had clients who've come to me and said, look, they're not giving me the money that they said they were going to give me. And I have to ask, well, why? And this is what they, I was like, did you read, review, and understand your agreement? And they're like, yeah, but we couldn't find the right. And I said, look, that's fine. But you need to understand that you have now violated the portion of this agreement. And if you didn't understand it, and no disrespect to any of the agencies that are they're handing out this money and you can take advantage of it. That's fantastic. But they're not your lawyer.
Right.
They're not your counselor. Neither are the fantastic organizations who are distributing the funds.
Right.
While your best interest may be tangentially in their mind, they're tasked with providing these funds and having a fantastic outcome. You, if you're taking advantage of those funds, have to do it in a manner that is exactly the way they told you to do it.
Exactly.
And so that is certainly, we've come across tons of business owners and some of the nonprofits that provide the funding that have gotten their wires crossed. And we've certainly received some recommendations and some referrals from the Deputy Mayor's Office on Economic Development and Planning and Economic Development, as well as DSLBD and some other places. And, you know, I think trying to make sure there's more of that education, I mean, that's thankfully why many of those organizations and the agencies have directed folks to us, so that we can explain these are the agreements, or this is an agreement that you've signed that you're legally bound to.
Right.
And I also believe, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I also believe that there is some lack of understanding, even when folks have signed a document, that, you know, they might think because it's called something different, that it's not a contract. Well, that's not true. If you have signed your name and you have, and I'm not going to go too lawyer 101 on you, but if you have signed your name and you've agreed for, you know, for something of value, you said, okay, I'm going to do what you've asked and you are going to give me money to do it. That's mm-hmm. a contract. Mm-hmm. You then have to perform in the contract. And if you don't, they can either take the, you know, some portion of the money away, all the money away. And so if you don't follow it to the letter, and agencies actually are fairly, can be fairly lax and a little bit lenient from time to time, you know, which is just sort of the course of doing business. That doesn't mean that you need to take that for granted.
No, because you never know when that's going to come back, and suddenly they're going to say, yeah, we should have taken care of this. We didn't at the time, but we are now.
Right. And these leases and these contracts, I mean, I'm sure that you need to be a lawyer to understand them. I mean, I need to be a lawyer to understand my cell phone agreement, you know, when they download, you know, what am I agreeing to? I feel like I need a lawyer for that sometimes. So I'm just saying you should, you know, definitely seek out this counsel. So these monthly sessions that you have, they're held once a month, about once a month. Mm-hmm. And how long are they?
So the clinic will last. We start them at about 5. We start intake at 5:00. We are open for intake until about 7:30. So the clinic goes a little bit later.
Okay.
So if you're, you know, as long as you enter
between 5 and 7.
As long as you enter by 7:30, not 7:31.
Right.
As long as you enter by 7:30, somebody will be able to meet with you.
Okay.
And oftentimes, I mean, as sort of a general example for folks who have not been or have not heard of this before, you come in, you do a quick bit of paperwork. You might have to do a little bit of waiting, depending on how busy we are. You do a short intake with one of our intake volunteers, typically a law student from one of the local law schools. And then once your matter, whatever the matter is, goes back to our cadre of volunteers from big firms and small firms and government lawyers and lawyers from all over the place, somebody will come out. Sometimes, you know, we've actually had teams of like three or four lawyers to one person, which is intimidating and hilarious, I find. So, because from time to time, folks will have like two or three distinct issues.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lease they need reviewed, and they have an intellectual property or copyright or some other question. And so if we're lucky enough to have a couple of volunteers with some expertise, and we have the space and we have the manpower, we can usually assign two lawyers to help with that and give you, and you know, on average, I'd say a meeting maybe goes 20 to 30 minutes. I've had a meeting as short as 3 minutes, where I remember a woman had one very specific question and I knew the answer, and she said, "Thank you, I'm leaving." I said, "Well, but you waited for like 20 minutes. Like, did you?" "No, I just needed this. I'm really appreciative, but I'm leaving."
So how many attorneys do you typically have on a given?
I'd say somewhere between 25 and 35.
Okay.
And then another three to five law students.
And the lawyers in D.C., maybe everywhere, I don't know, they have to do a certain number of pro bono hours. Is that correct?
So the D.C. Bar rules strongly
suggest okay.
That lawyers in the city do pro bono. Now, a lot of the larger firms have a pro bono requirement as a part of their hourly requirement.
Ah, okay.
And again, we you know, usually it's a number of hours or a certain case that we strongly suggest. You know, we've had some really faithful volunteers who volunteered with us for a long time. We've got, you know, it's also a great training ground for new lawyers who've, in your first couple of years of practice, maybe haven't had an opportunity to speak directly to clients. I know as a young lawyer, that's what I did. I was an antitrust lawyer and worked for big institutional clients and never got a chance. I barely got a chance to be on the phone with the client or say a word to them. And getting an opportunity to meet with entrepreneurs and talk to folks who had apparel businesses or were looking to start new consulting companies, or, you know, we've actually had a good, I mean, and we do have it quite a bit. I started to notice a lot more younger entrepreneurs, folks who are in college, you know, maybe at Howard or GW, and they're thinking, well, I'm in college, but maybe I might want to start something related to their school. Like, I remember I had a student who was looking to start like a in-home barber, like a in-home like haircutting business. And I was really surprised, because all the guys I knew in college who wanted to cut hair just cut hair out of their dorm rooms. But he wanted it to be official. He wanted to have a website. And, you know, we went through a lot of the paces with him to help him with that. And he was, you know, he ended up moving out of town like when he graduated. But he was like, yeah, this has been great. I got some, got random clients who just found them on the website or found him on his website and was, you know, he was like, yeah, I started traveling to do it, and people, you know.
Wow.
So, but yeah, these are just like many of the sort of the types of ideas we get. So
what do you all do outside of the monthly? I mean, I know you do other work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. So what does that entail?
So one interesting thing that we just recently started doing, we've moved into your world and we started doing podcasts.
Oh.
I know.
No wonder you're so good at this.
So what we started doing, so we do a lot of training, and I'll drill down from sort of the higher level sort of training talk. So oftentimes there are changes in the law that affect businesses and nonprofits, and what we will do is either we will do it in-house, we will sort of put together a sort of a client alert, which is essentially like a two-pager explaining maybe what the difference in the law is. I think recently we've done some on minimum wage changes, for example. But we've also done, there's a lot of businesses run into issues and concerns with their employees. And actually, I should let me take a step back. I always use employee. However, the issue for employers is that they think they have employees, or they call folks employees, but they may, or they possibly should treat them as independent contractors. Conversely, they call, and I've worked with some companies and some nonprofits who classify everybody as an independent contractor, but their work is exactly the same as employees. And that can get you into a lot of trouble with the Department of Labor, and here in DC with the Department of Employment Services. So we've done some work around that, both sort of in paper form. We've also done some webinars, sort of giving sort of bullet points. And we usually do that for about an hour over lunch to try to give people information. Partly because our clinics are typically at night. Sometimes they're on weekends or on Saturday mornings. But if you run a food business or you run a restaurant, that may not necessarily work for you. If you have a day job and you're sort of managing your business during the evenings, it may not be an appropriate time for you. So we make all of those online resources sort of on demand. So if you miss it live, you can also sort of attain sort of access to it after the fact. What we started to notice after doing webinars for the last probably closer to like 8 years, was we got really good feedback and we got really good sort of open rates, but there were some topics that didn't necessarily rise to the level of a webinar topic. And we wanted to have some discussions that were a little bit less formal and more conversational. So as an example, I don't know if you guys know this, but non-disclosure agreements have become a fairly widely discussed topic in the news.
I think I might have heard
you
that.
You may have heard something about
heard
it.
Heard a thing or two. Yeah.
And so after hearing it in the news probably for the last 8 months, I had realized, or I had been thinking about it, and I was like, well, while the news has more sort of salacious discussion of non-disclosure agreements, there are typical instances where businesses and their workers might need to sort of work with a non-disclosure agreement. And I wanted to get sort of a sense for what are the typical instances where you'd need one, and what should go in, a fairly generic non-disclosure agreement. So I talked with one of my long-term volunteers and a great, great volunteer, great lawyer, Heather Batzel, who sort of just helped run me through a lot of we talked a little bit about things that I had done and a lot of stuff she's drafted for clients, which was great. And because we know each other and we've worked together for a long time, fairly easy conversation. We've been doing that a lot, both for business owners and for nonprofits, on different subjects that we can sort of dig into, but also only talk about for 20 to 25 minutes. So that's been a great update to the work that we've been doing. But I would say typically a lot of that's the sort of the training component that we've been working in.
So wait, what's the name of this? What's the name of this podcast?
So we don't really have a name.
How do you not have a name? How do you find it?
Well, okay. So, okay.
Wait, so, have you learned nothing from branding from us?
I know. So it's been thankfully pretty well received. But to say that we certainly don't have a snappy name. We do have a name. So we had been doing it for a while under the our nonprofit banner. So it's been the nonprofit and small the nonprofit legal assistance program of the DC Barber Bonus Center's podcast series. I know
that's very long.
That's okay. Super long.
We're tasked now with branding you with a cool name.
So that's certainly something that as we've been sort of moving forward doing it, and just we just recently started. And so we had been working with, and we continue to work with, the Center for Nonprofit Advancement, putting together the podcast. But when I started sort of to do some small business podcasts, I was like, wait, this is a sort of in a little bit of a different vein and with different sort of expectations for who's going to listen and who the listeners are going to be. So yes, I have been trying to figure out sort of how we want to, if how we want to brand. But yes, I'm not there yet.
All right.
Hopefully when I'm back for number four, we can talk more about that.
I think this calls for a repeat visit.
This does.
So, any other trends? I know we could spend hours talking about business legal challenges legal challenges small businesses face on a regular basis. Any other trends that you see that businesses need to start taking note of?
Well, I'd say in the last probably like 2 or 3 weeks, I've started to see a couple of businesses have had some issues with utilities, and by issues I mean differences of opinion, but differences in what the utility thinks they may owe versus what like they've been typically paying.
So they've seen changes in their utilities.
Exactly. And we're still sort of trying to grapple with exactly how to help, and I think we're going to try to do a little bit of that. But trying to figure out, okay, is there, you know, if all of a sudden you got a bill from one of the utilities, you know, a water bill or something else, and it's vastly increased, or they tell you, look, we've been charging you this,
right?
But you really owe us this, and sorry, you need to pay it by next month. How do you respond? And so that's something that I think is likely to happen a little bit more. I mean, we're just getting sort of starting to get noticed.
So this is happening.
It's happening
frequently. If you've seen
enough that I'm starting to think that we're going to have to figure out a strategy or at least some idea of how business owners, and this can certainly include nonprofits as well, how they respond to inquiries like this. And in some cases, there isn't necessarily a process that makes sense in terms of an appeal. And it's not an appeal in the sense that a lawyer is going to look at an appeal. Like, there's some paperwork you have to fill out. There's some form you have to fill out. It seems like, and again, I'm still sort of working through this, but it seems like you make a call depending upon who you talk to. That's sort of how they decide what to do next. And if there's not a formal process, how you're able to help and understand
both from a change depending on who you're talking
exactly.
to.
Exactly. Right. And from business owner to business owner, what, you know, one of the things that you always want as a lawyer, one of the things you always want, and this is the same for everybody, but we want consistency the same way every business owner wants to make sure that they're, you know, if you're a restaurant owner, you want to know that, okay, these are the amount of tickets we're going to get every day. If you, you know, run an organization, these are the amounts of grants we can expect, or the sort of the payments for grants that we expect every quarter. And so we're budget as such. But if all of a sudden your electric bill goes from $2,000 a month to $5,000 a month and you weren't expecting it and there's no notice, and whether it's a bill change or it's a change on their part or some mistake they've made, we have to make sure that we can support businesses in figuring out whether that's something where it was, because admittedly, it could be the business owner's mistake. It could also be the utility's mistake. It could also be somewhere in the middle. But I think it's something that we're going to have to prepare for, and I think business owners should make sure they're aware of and review. I can't imagine people don't review these carefully, but if they don't, make sure you're reviewing all the paperwork that comes into you. Even though you get a lot, review that stuff carefully, because that's really important.
So the clinics themselves, the monthly clinics that you do, are phenomenal resources, no doubt about it. Particularly if, you know, you have, as a business owner or a nonprofit director, that you have the lead time to get a question together and the window of time to wait for the next clinic. Now let's say a business owner needs a prompt answer. like they've only got 24 hours to get a response back on a legal question. Do you have resources available to help in situations, or let me dive a little deeper on that. If there is a business owner that, say, is having ongoing legal issues with their landlord or their business partner, or I don't know, pick one of the worst case scenarios that we've talked about. Can a business owner, particularly if they meet financial guidelines, can they be in touch with kind of an ongoing pro bono service for that type of thing?
Sure. So, and yeah, let me address if you've got a 24-hour turnaround on a problem, or it's, you know, our next clinic is September 19th. If you have a question on September 20th, what do you do? So one of the things you can do, and, you know, thankfully my information, the information for our organization is available, and I'll give a little bit of that stuff out later, but I'm open, while I have a tendency to be a little busy, I'm open to taking phone calls, I'm open to taking emails. Additionally, I also do office hours at DC's Department of Consumer Regulatory Affairs the final Friday of every month. So unless there's a holiday or something, but I'm there usually in the morning to the early afternoon. I do appointments at DCRA's Small Business Resource Center. And so typically that will fall sort of dead in between one clinic to the next. So if folks have the time, they can always set up an appointment and come there to speak with me or somebody from our staff. In terms and then again, like I said before, you know, we're open and available to have phone conversations if folks have a really pressing need, which we've had happen. In terms of ongoing assistance, we do provide ongoing assistance both to businesses and to nonprofit organizations. Usually we have to do a little bit of intake and get a sense for whether it's something, you know, whether it's something that we'd be able to take on, that we'd be able to help with the problem if there are lawyers in, you know, within our volunteer pool who would be able to take that on. Now, that's always subject to the availability of attorneys from the firms that we work with, but it's certainly something that we can do. And folks can reach out to me to get that process started. We do have income guidelines. I won't go into all those details now, but once you've reached out, you know, we've worked with folks who have fallen within our income guidelines. If they don't, we certainly try to make resources available to them or to direct them to lawyers who might not be able to do a pro bono, might not be able to do it for free, but might be able to do it for some sort of less fee than, you know, somebody you're sort of looking through. I was going to say looking through the Yellow Pages, right. But that doesn't exist anymore.
It doesn't? No. Some people are probably like, what is
the Yellow Pages? And I'm so old. That's the first thing I thought of. But or, you know, finding some resource online that you have no connection to.
How many people do you have on staff in your office?
So
three? No, I don't know.
Well, so for the project and for the portion of the organization that I manage, it's currently it's me plus one other lawyer, a administrative or a program staff, and then half the time of administrative assistant.
Wow. So I was pretty close.
You were close.
Wow. So limited resources, but a lot happening.
Right.
So with your promotion, what do you see for the future for your office? And maybe not just even, but now that you are
now
in
that
charge,
you have control.
Now that you have control, I mean, maybe what do you see for the future?
Or sure. Something
you might want to,
you know, I definitely see, you know, trying to be more creative in our programming. I can't say I have a specific sort of thing I've been desperately trying to do for a long time, because Regina Hopkins, who was our assistant director and my predecessor, gave me like a lot of latitude to both be creative and to reach out to the folks in the community who could be supportive of our programs and understood sort of our value. I see a lot more of that. I do see a lot more of that happening. I mean, all I really want is to reach more people. And whether that means diversifying our programming, I do think trying to be in more parts of the city is going to be helpful. But those are probably the biggest things. I mean, you know, if I had unlimited resources and time, I probably do a lot more promotion or more sort of direct marketing of our clinic, because I think we could certainly, with the amount of energy we get from both from folks who attend the clinic, but also from our volunteers who take real pride and joy in helping people and giving of their time, which, you know, we've got lawyers who would typically charge a client like $600 to $800 an hour. So wow. Their time is valuable. Of course, everybody's time is valuable. Right.
But their time is literally money.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would love to be able to serve more clients. And I'm trying to think about ways to sort of possibly be in more places. Because we do office hours at DCRA every month, I do think there's a possibility we might be able to extend that other places, which this might be breaking news on the podcast.
Ah, nice.
Because I hadn't
really... We need
really...
to get a breaking news. Breaking news.
It's funny. I was actually just thinking of this while we were talking. I was like, you know, SB Works has a good space right up the street.
Ah.
We could do something there at some point.
That's right. Exactly. Well, what, yeah,
we're getting you on
that.
Rhode Island Avenue. So you said the next clinic is on the 19th. Tell our listeners where this is.
Sure. So... September 19th, starting at 5 o'clock, we will be at...
P.M.
Yes, 5 p.m.
God. Actually, I've had somebody ask that, and I was like, what?
What? Yeah.
Yes, 5 o'clock p.m., we will be at 441 4th Street Northwest, which is at right outside the Judiciary Square Metro Station. This is at DSLBD, D.C.'s Department of Small Local Business Development. We will be working in concert with them and with our office on Latino Affairs. This will be, while we call it our Spanish language Small Business Legal Assistance or Legal Clinic, but the reason we do that, we have Spanish speakers available for these, to make sure that we can facilitate the Spanish-speaking population here in D.C. But yeah, that's when our next clinic is. It goes from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. You just need to be there before...
Before 7:30, not 7:31.
Not 7:31.
And it's not limited to Spanish-speaking businesses.
It most certainly is not. Everybody is welcome. If you speak Spanish, we will have somebody who can speak to you if that's your native language or the language you're more comfortable speaking.
Gotcha.
Perfect. Now, if our listeners want to reach out to you and find out more about the bar, where can they do that?
Sure. My name, Daryl Maxwell. My email address, dmaxwell@dcbar.org. Again, dmaxwell@dcbar.org. Because we just recently moved, I don't even know what I can't remember what my phone number is. But
no one's going to call you anyway.
But email is usually the best way to reach me. I will also say we do have another training, if you would indulge me.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So we started probably about 12 or 13 years ago. We started doing a business law training series. So it's an 8-week course where folks who either own businesses or are looking to own business or pretty close to owning business or just started. We had initially started to work with construction companies or construction businesses or contractors. And it sort of expanded in the years that we've been doing it. We wanted to give sort of a course that sort of felt like an executive level training. And so we working in partnership with our friends from Winston & Strawn, a law firm on K Street. We do a couple different sort of modules. It's going to start September 25th, and it will go from 5 to 7 o'clock over the course of the following sort of, well, over the course of 8 weeks. We touch on...
It'll be one day a week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is one. It's on Tuesdays every week for 8 weeks, starting September 25th. And what we will be doing, we will be going through sort of basics of corporate law, two modules on employment law, you know, we've got some modules on accounting, government contracting, and joint ventures, and as well as risk management and insurance. And we usually have somewhere between, I'd say, 35 and 45 people. We try to keep it fairly small. There is a fee for materials, which is $75. But we do provide snacks if that's helpful. The reason we've done the training is that folks needed or were looking for more meaningful, longer-term training and live training so they could get their questions answered. And, sure. And we get a really great cross-section of district-based businesses and local businesses, which also encompass Maryland and Virginia. And we've done it for a long time. We partner with our friends at DC Small Business Development Center Network, as well as we've heard a bunch of times, DSLBD. It's been really great, and we're looking to get started. It's going to be in 2 weeks, and so September 25th. If you need information about any of those things that I've talked about, or anything else, or any of the webinars or podcasts or materials, you can get all that information on our resource site. And I'm going to, this is a little long, so bear with me, but I'm sure my friend Kyle will make sure this link is available to anybody sort of reading this or reading about information. I'm sure it'll be on, you know, various websites and such, but it is www.lawhelp.org/DC/CED. Again, it's www.lawhelp.org/DC/CED. There's a calendar where you'll be able to find information about our business trainings, our upcoming clinics, our nonprofit information, and our nonprofit trainings are also coming up.
Yep, I'm looking at that site now, lawhelp.org/DC, all of that you just said, mm-hmm. And it's got a packed calendar.
Perfect.
It's got a packed calendar, yeah. So lots of good stuff here. As always, amazing to visit with you.
Yes.
You always bring such good information, we will make sure and get you back on to talk about the podcast.
Sure.
And
you'll have a fancy new name by then. I'm certain. I'm going to help you think of one.
And we're going to talk about doing this Rhode Island Avenue clinic too.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for coming in, Daryl.
Of course.
Okay. Well, that is going to wrap up another episode. Casey will be back next episode from Good Food Market. She's at a conference learning smart things about food. About good food.
Yeah.
So we'll have Good Food Market back on with our next episode. As always, thanks to you guys for listening. Give us some feedback on the iTunes website and let us know what you would like to hear on the show. We'll see you next episode and October 6th for Fall Fest.
Yay. See ya.
Bye.